Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the Podcast.
You've got to believe.
It's alive. It's loose.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
Welcome to Oddcast, Movies, Music and Gaming. Here with me today, as always, is Dreadful Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. And how are you?
Yeah, good. And hello to all the twerk people out there. We're broadcasting live on this exciting new platform.
Yes, the exciting new platform known as Twerk, Twitch. And yes, and so there'll be people watching this live. You can watch live if you're listening to this on a podcast, as we normally do. I'm doing it on my Legasseek channel, which is twitch.tv/Legasseek, L-E-G-A-S-S-I-Q-U-E. So go over there and you can listen to it again, but watch us actually moving our faces and our mouths.
Jesus.
Nice. And Dan is really big in the video. For some reason, his face is massive. And we
it just
kept
expands
it that way,
like
I love
a goldfish
it.
To fill its space.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best. today's minisode, we're just going to be discussing stuff that we've been watching or listening to or doing whatever. So, Dan, what have you been up to?
I've been up to quite a lot. So, obviously, last week we did the episode on Fantastic Planet, René Laloux. Mm. And... obviously, I watched a few of his other short films and that, and I've carried on, basically. I'm on a Laloux
kick. Oh, really?
Yeah, so I watched just a couple more of his short films. So they're only like 10 minutes long each. Highly recommend them. First one was The Captive, or La Prisonnière,
right,
which was another one of these like late 80s one. I think it's 1988.
Okay.
Really, really super surreal. Like super simple plot, kind of just seems to be about like an oppressive kind of totalitarian society.
Mm.
Basically, these two children go to the city. They're like escaping from some kind of war, and everything there is silent, and they all think that silence is like the most important thing in society. Mm. And I don't want to say too much because you might actually watch this, right?
Mm. Yeah, if you think it's good.
But some, like, it's so short, you might as well watch it. But then this, like, this dead whale turns up.
Mm.
And they bring it into the city. It's literally like, this film's so short. It's a just stuff happens with very little like explanation or need for any kind of like, you know, narrative justification. It's all emblematic. Suddenly it's like dead whales there, and they bring it into the city, kind of like the horse of Troy.
And
then it kind of, you know, plays out to the resolution of the film. I won't say what happens, but yeah, it's interesting, and I kind of want to watch now. He did one other feature film around this time, and everyone's been talking about this guy Mobius. Right. So I'm just sort of like now getting into some of this French animation of the era.
And so I didn't realize the bald guy who did the Dawn
Roland
Identity.
Roland Topor has been like given the heave ho,
right?
And he's working with like some sort of like new wave of French animators, but apparently, like, that Fantastic Planet inspired then in the 80s the development of a particular style in like French graphic novels and stuff.
Right.
And there's like some magazine, I can't remember the name, but its American equivalent became Heavy Metal.
Yep. Which we all know and love.
Yeah. And then they did that Heavy Metal film.
Yeah.
Which is like that cult. So that animation style is kind of what's really prevalent in this like animated short that I saw.
Didn't that guy die recently? The artist who did Heavy Metal stuff. What did you say his name was? Or is this someone different?
Mobius, which I assume is a pseudonym.
Yeah, someone died who was attached to that, like literally like last week.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've got it wrong. Someone probably know. But yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, so I just found that quite interesting, starting to make these little connections, you know, with other things like some... slight handle on. It made me think, oh, it might be worth watching Heavy Metal. I think I've watched it once when I was a teenager.
Yeah, same. I don't remember anything about it. I get it now confused with the South Park episode where they did a spoof of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really good. You should watch it. It's the premise is that people are like inhaling cat piss to get high. Okay. But each time, and like Kenny goes off on one to like inhale this cat piss. And he just gets transported into like the heavy metal world, and it's all that old school animation, but and it's him in the middle of it, and there's all these like women with like big boobs and all this stuff in this like Conan the Barbarian kind of post-apocalyptic weird future thing, and it's really funny. And then he's like, and it cuts back to like reality, and he's like in his pants, just like rolling around outside or something on the floor. And he's just high, and yeah, and Carl's dad. Gerald or whatever is in on it as well, and they meet each other in like the same hallucination and all this stuff. It's quite funny, but it's based upon that animation style. It's good. You should, yeah, seek it out if you.
That sounds like a good double bill. Watch it. Yeah, do heavy metal and South Park.
Yeah, it's really good. They really like pay like a decent homage to it. Yeah, that's cool.
And I watched his one of his earliest films as well.
Yeah.
The Monkey's Teeth, Le Dent du Singe.
Right. I don't know.
This was...
I know the monkey's poor. Yeah.
Monkey, the monkey's curse. Monkey Island.
Mm, yes.
This is a whole different kettle of fish.
Mm.
This was what one... Was he was working in a... what's it called? Like a clinic. Like a mental clinic.
Right.
And it was one of the first of its kind in the world, this idea that you treat people more like they're in a sanatorium, you know, okay. So there's no locked doors. It's this nice big like castle in the countryside and people are there and they're being encouraged to, you know, mix and kind of explore their problems with each other and kind of just like find fulfillment through that.
Is this all pre-Fantastic Planet?
No.
This is afterwards you were saying actually, wasn't it? Sorry.
The Captive was 88. So anyway, so this one, this is very early. He was working there, doing workshops with the patients. And he did some like shadow puppetry stuff with them, and they made a very early kind of like film of shadow puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was the next thing they did. And they literally kind of like got together, and I thought this was so cool. Like all the people got like a different character.
Right.
And then over the coming weeks, they like explored their different characters and like basically cobbled together the narrative of a story.
Mm.
And then he basically like got them to animate it.
Okay.
And he's using the same, like that paper, you can see like the evolution. He's gone from shadow puppets to like that style of animation where it's like, cut out and it's stop motion. Mm. And you can see that that's then evolved into the style of Fantastic Planet.
Right.
But it was really cool. It was like it was almost like a children's story. You know, things happen that don't like have any causality. It's like total surrealism. It's like, oh, you know, this someone goes to the dentist and the dentist's evil and he's selling teeth to rich clients. So he pulls all this guy's teeth out and then he's having this dream and he's like dreaming about his wedding day and he's picturing all the guests at the table and you just see these like pliers coming down and plucking them all from the table. And then basically the dentist just like dumps his body out in the desert, like away from the town. But a happy, friendly monkey on a bicycle happens to be cycling past and like witnesses this. And he kind of becomes the man's like guardian angel.
Right.
And then basically, yeah, there's just all this stuff going on. And like the animation style is really cool. It's really like primitive. It reminded me of like some West African art. But the thing is, like, there's underlying issues. Like when you kind of know, oh, it's the work of these like mental patients, you can see it's like there's anxiety about like medical professionals, and there's a lot of like anxiety about people with positions of authority and like concern about being lonely or ugly. And, you know, losing your teeth is like a classic kind of like Freudian thing, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was just it was interesting, but like. Just kind of like detach yourself and watch it. It's actually quite visually like stunning and kind of just fun little film. Again, it's only 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I haven't watched anything half as cultured as that. I guess, from my side, I watched, and you'll love this, I haven't seen it in a while, but I watched Back to the Future 1 and 2, back to back.
Oh, lovely. What encouraged you to do that?
We were wrapping Christmas presents and my wife said, oh, should we just put Back to the Future on because it's here? I was like, yes.
Had you so left it there? Huh? Strategically placed it within.
No, she was searching on whatever Netflix or whatever it was on.
I thought it was a DVD.
No, I do have it. I've got them in like fucking 4K or something sitting somewhere unopened. I forget like how it's got like the perfect pace. I won't speak too much about it because obviously everyone's seen it, but I forget like it's just like it's relentless, like from beginning to end, both of them, one and two.
Yeah.
And some of the jokes and stuff I think I appreciated a lot more being that bit older, and the way like as a kid, like some of the stuff they're saying was ludicrous, but you just saw it as part of the, like, I didn't realize it was as tongue in cheek as what it actually was. If that makes sense. In my head, it was just part of the, you know, the zaniness of the movie or something like that. And then I was like
stuff about like fucking his mom.
I mean, that stuff is like really like, I mean, like, I remember at the time thinking this is weird, but it's weird at the time because it's, even though like she doesn't know, he seems to be like, it's the fact, I think he's so like scared of it and how like sexually like aggressive she is.
Yeah.
But it's more that it's like, he's not just like, oh, whatever. He's like really like edgy and stuff about it. And like when she puts her, when she like comes up and like she's got her boobs out or whatever, in a little top thing. And he's like, looking at it, it's like, he's like feeling confused. Like he's like lusting over.
Oh yeah, he's conflicted, like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's something which I wasn't particularly, I thought at first it was just like, oh, it's his mum and he's like stressing out, rather than like, I think he's like horny for her and he doesn't know what to do about it.
That's what I thought when I saw it a couple of years ago.
I was like, this is weird. Like, and then the second film, I think I didn't realize how quickly, because to me it was like I always felt it was like a really long film, like a 2.5-3 hour epic or something, but it's not. Like, it just moves so quickly from like you've got the future scene, you've got the present where it's like, you know, Donald Trump, Biff Tannen, and then you've got Back to the 50s. And for me, like, it felt like it was those like almost three long movies in one thing, when it's like, they happen really quick. And there's just that element of, and there's like even stuff like, again, with the jokes where they're like, he's like, man, I feel like I was just here yesterday. It's like, you were here yesterday. It's, you know, just playing, you know, you realize that's kind of like a nod to the audience, the fact that it's, you know, this is all happening, you know, back to back to back, as it were. Like,
oh, man, they really nailed all that.
2 days.
Like, yeah, getting really good. The detail of all that, right? They really obviously took a lot of care over that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It was really good. So it was really good watching those back.
What was your favourite?
See, now, I always used to like 2 as a kid, and I think that's just because of the future stuff. And also,
maybe
that's
why. Yeah. That's why I liked it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's all this cool stuff in the future, right?
It's exciting.
But also, yeah, and also I think all the end stuff, when they're kind of filling in the blanks of what happened in the first film, I thought was really cool. But in retrospect, watching it back, that stuff is still good to see, but I'm a bit like, it doesn't like get me going basically as much as when I was younger. And the same with the future stuff. It's like, oh, that's cool. But and one thing as well is the Biff Tannen actor, I can't remember his name, like, deserved a fucking like Oscar or something, because each of his like characters in the different ages as well, like, are just great. He just plays it like so fucking well. And yeah, looking at it with like fresh eyes, it's really good. But the first one, I think, is still, I think it's probably my favorite. It's probably the best one. And also, I think it kind of harkens back to like this Americana, like when times were, when America was great,
yeah,
and racist. And all whatever, but I think, I think the first one is probably my favourite.
I've never seen him in anything else, that actor. Who? Biff Tannen guy.
Oh, Biff Tannen guy. He was in a couple of bits, kind of comedy flops, basically, and he didn't do much. He's got that famous song which went viral on YouTube, which is like, he does his little stand-up routine, and he does a song at the end of it, which is basically him answering all the questions that you'll have about Back to the Future.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's funny. You should check it out. It's like, you know, what was Michael J. Fox like? He was nice. Crispin Glover, he was weird or whatever, but he's singing it like a country song. And it's quite funny, but it's good because it's all the kind of questions which you think he must hear that.
Like, he must have heard
anyone
at least 100
times. Wants to talk about it. Yeah. Hundreds. Yeah. Million. So that was good. There's something else I was going to say. Crispin Glover, I forget, is also really fucking good at it, in it as well. It's a shame he went weird. So I actually went, you know that set where it's like the town square and stuff? I went there because I did a shoot for a Whiskers advert on the Universal lot in LA, and which was cool. And me and the director, this guy called Jamie, we basically spent a day basically fucking about on the Universal lot. And we did the tour. So you do the official tour, which is like, they just drive you through it. Here's where this happened. Here's where blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then because we were actually filming there, we had our passes. And we were like, well, let's just get in a car and just drive around and see what's going on. So we did. So we were able to like go through the Back to the Future set. It wasn't being used. Obviously it's not the set. It's just a town square that's been used for like a million other movies. And that was,
how big is it then?
That's really cool. It's not that big.
But when you say you drove around, like the whole...
Universal lot is pretty big, yeah. It's, I don't remember it being massive. Like, I don't remember it being like, this is crazy big or anything, but it's pretty substantial is what you think for a movie lot, I guess.
Cool.
That was pretty cool. Because me and him are big Back to the Future fans anyway, so that was pretty sweet, just sitting there jacking each other off, thinking about it.
You're going to watch Back to the Future 3? Over Christmas.
Yeah, probably. Even though, because obviously it comes up with that little teaser at the end of 2.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it and was like, this is where it went wrong. But do you remember that bit with the little boy at the end of 3? You can see that on YouTube as well. So there's a bit, you know, where he's got his kids and he's on the train?
No, I can't remember that.
Okay, Doc Brown, right at the end of the movie, Doc Brown visits and he's turned a train into a time machine.
Yeah,
he's like, here's my wife and here's my two kids. Vernon and blah, 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 whatever. And if you look, there's a bit where like the camera's panning in, right? To like Doc and the kids, and he's talking to Michael J. Fox, and the little kid goes, can you see this? He goes, he does his finger like this, and then he points at his dick like this, taps it, and it's in the film. And everyone's like, what the fuck is this creepy little kid doing this for? And apparently what it was afterwards is they think that he was telling the camera, the director, whoever, that he needed the toilet. But it's in the film, so you can see him just go, just tap his dick. It's really fucking weird. Yeah, you've got to like look out for it. It's all this stuff, it's all this gold out there, Dan, on Back to the Future.
I was going to say, people need to start coming and listening to the show just for this film trivia.
Yeah, I mean, I'm full of shit like
this. Gold.
I really want to see, like, for instance, like Eric Stoltz footage. Because remember, they went like a week or two into filming and then started it all again. Because Zemeckis and Spielberg, or whatever, were just like, yeah, Eric Stoltz isn't working. Can we get Michael J. Fox back? And they worked it around Michael J. Fox, and he came, I think he did it as well as shooting his TV show, which was the, you know, whatever, the Family Affairs or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah. Good move by Michael.
Yeah, really good move. And well deserved. He's brilliant in that role.
Yeah, he is great.
Yeah.
He is great. Almost as good as in that Pepsi advert.
What Pepsi advert?
I always remember that. That was like so exciting. That's so, for me, that's like so iconic of that period.
I remember it.
He was like in one of those, it's the taste of the new generation. And he's like, he's running around and it's really hot and he's got to get the Pepsi and put it on his face.
As Michael J. Fox, or is it that he was, this is for him doing a commercial just as an out of work actor kind of thing? Or
as Michael J. Fox.
Right. Okay.
But he's like a Marty McFly type looking character. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that he's like supposed to be all like sexy. It's like he literally is a man child. He looks weird.
He's cool though, isn't he? He is cool.
Yeah. Is he cool?
Like in that film, he's really cool. Yeah, he's cool.
Okay.
He's got that
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Pluckiness. You know?
Yeah. And fuckiness. cool. Well, yeah.
Other TV or film?
No, don't think so. What a boring life I lead. No, I haven't done. I'm trying to think. There must be something else, but there really isn't. So,
well, strap yourself in because I've got some more stuff for you.
Go on, hit me. X-Files.
Thank you. Yep, we're at that point in the agenda.
What's been up then?
Well, I've hit mid-season.
Right.
Season 6. The two-part episode, Two Fathers and One Son.
Mm.
So this was it. This was finally the payoff to all that stuff. Like, when I was so excited about the X-Files when I was a kid, you know, and I'd stopped watching by this point. So is this, I never...
Is this the same as Two Girls, One Cup? But just some weird, like, incest...
Infinitely sexier.
Right, okay.
Infinitely sexier. This is the payoff to the whole mythology and the conspiracy.
Okay.
And everything.
Okay.
And it happens slap bang in the middle of the season.
What happens? I don't remember any of this.
They explain, like, explicitly what's been happening, the project, William Mulder's role in the project, the cigarette smoking man.
Like it's just
no,
pure,
it's not a flashback.
Okay.
It's like, this is happening now. What's happened? The alien takeover is going to commence because they've successfully made a alien-human hybrid.
Right.
So it's like, it's going to happen now.
And still,
Cigarette Smoking Man explains everything to Mulder and everything about his dad. And he revealed, you know, and to reveal he's like Spender's father and all everything. But it all goes wrong because they go to the they go to the place where their men are like liaised with the aliens.
Mm.
But instead the alien rebels come and just burn all of the syndicate.
I remember this. Is this in a big warehouse? I think I've said this a few times. Yeah, the big warehouse thing. They're all kind of standing with these like head honchos that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck.
This isn't one. Yeah. Something's wrong.
Of course it's two fathers, because actually Mulder's dad is the cigarette smoking man, isn't it? Spoilers.
That's been hinted at loads, but it hasn't been explicitly stated yet.
Okay. I think it does
the two fathers are later. William Mulder and Cigarette Smoking Man as is Spender's dad.
Yes.
But also it's really cool actually. Krycek's got a role in these.
Mm.
And there's a scene that's cut out, but I watched it on the extras, where he's really playing up like, oh, I want to take over, like following your footsteps, and you're a great man. So it's actually kind of like, oh, there's these three kind of like son figures in his life.
Mm.
There's Spender, who he's trying to hand the project over to, but who's like really inexperienced and wishy-washy. And then there's Krycek. And then in the middle, there's probably like the perfect Fox Mulder. And that's why at the end, he explains everything. And he's like, here's the address, go here, and you won't die, basically.
Mm.
So yeah, it's just like really exciting. And it was like the payoff to the first kind of like 5 years of that arc.
Stuff.
And it was pretty good,
really. I think
it
needed it by that point, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd stopped watching, so... When I first saw this a couple of years ago, I was like, oh my God, that was incredible. Blew my mind. So yeah, I don't know what's going to happen now, but I'm going to stick with it. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else on your notes, agendas?
I have been reviewing my best albums of 2020.
Ooh. I haven't.
Are
even
you doing that?
Bothered. No, I need to. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was just like, I just haven't listened. I was like this last year, though. I was like, I haven't listened to enough to warrant it. So I need to kind of hide myself away for a little bit and just see what was released this year, and just kind of go on a bit of a dig around. Did you listen to Atlas Fending? I mean, I don't know if that'll
still
be my
to
number
come.
One.
Right. Still to come. Still on the list. I've been starting to listen to some. Yeah. Bits and bobs that I hadn't heard, but I was specifically listening to Dan Deacon, Mystic Familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little YouTube video on Dreadful Dan's discs and on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that came out like in January. Really cool. And coming off the back of like Mort Garson stuff, it's another, it feels like Mort Garson inspired analog synth, moogie, euphoric indie pop record. So, yeah, that's really cool. That's definitely in my top 10.
Wow.
And then the other like music event of my week was the Joyful Noise Holiday Special. So Joyful Noise, indie pop record label from the States.
Okay.
And they've got a ton of artists that I really like. And every year they do like a Christmas special, I think like a live show. So this year they did it as an internet thing. And encourage people to like watch it live and make donations to something. I can't remember what.
Yeah.
But everyone was doing either covers or like original new Christmassy type songs. So there was Danielson, Deerhoof, Lou Barlow, Dale Crover, Jad Fair, loads of these like, yeah, indie rock and pop artists that I like. Mm. So that was really cool. What's good is like some of the recordings were quite good, like the songs. But everyone's obviously been told, like, can you make a music video? And we'll like put it together for this like hour long special.
Yeah.
So some of the videos were hilariously lo-fi.
That's good.
Like, really bad.
Not necessarily. Oh, bad. Okay. Right.
But in an entertaining way, like someone had done a cover of Frozen by Madonna.
Right.
And it was really good. But it was, you really had to close your eyes and listen to it to like concentrate on how good it was, because the video was like they'd done it on their phone and they'd used some kind of like face swap app. So yeah. They'd actually taken Madonna's Frozen video and then like slapped their face on Madonna's face. And it still had the watermark from where they're obviously using like the free version. So it's all part of the aesthetic, I think.
Why not crop it out at least?
I think it's kind of like a decision they've made to like leave it in. So it just looks really shitty.
Well, funny enough, it was that time, if you remember, I was in a band called The Changelings.
I do.
We would cover Beautiful People.
Beautiful Stranger.
Beautiful Stranger, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was
not that
basically,
era, of course.
No, but it was basically me screaming pretty much the entire lyrics and trying to turn it into like some weird Pixies-esque song.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I'm glad you remember that. That was, when I think about it, like the amount of songs we used to cover back in the day, sometimes I'm like, when I'm driving with Tess, I was like, this is one of the first songs I ever covered in my band. She's like, you say that about every single fucking song that we listen to. So yeah, I do think we did cover quite a lot in those early days, as you do, being a, you know, in a band at that age.
It was really good. And my favourite song was Dale Crover doing Christmas Time Is Here. It was really, really weird, but really, really pleasant.
Mm.
And he's got this weird mask on. I think he's had his actual face, the lower half of his face, printed onto a mask.
Right. It sounds like an evening with you.
Yeah. I did think, as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh my ladies. God, I've got to do that. It put me, I wasn't ready for Christmas. I hadn't been thinking about Christmas, but I watched that and it's put me in a bit more of a seasonal mood. So
nice.
I recommend it. It's on YouTube. You can go and watch it. Joyful Noise Holiday Special 2020.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely. Anything else for this week, Dan?
No, that was it. Obviously been spinning Jesus Lizard in preparation for the weekend's episode.
Yeah. So we will be discussing the Jesus Lizard. I forgot what the name of the EP is. Pure?
Pure.
And we'll be running through that track by track and giving our thoughts and opinions. Dan is a big fan. I'm not very new, as in like I only know a couple of Jesus Lizard tracks really. So relatively new. It'll be good.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so we are going to go and do that now, and we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.